Why do we give? We give to make a difference, to touch hearts and change lives. We give to feed the hungry, care for the sick, and comfort those in need. We give to show Jesus to our neighbors, our community, and the world. We give as an act of worship to a God who has given everything. We give because we are the church, the body of Christ, called to be a light in the darkness, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We are the hands and feet of Jesus, sharing the hope of the gospel. This is why we give.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you, team. A really cut down version of our worship team, obviously, but thank you so much. And Billy, our drummer, and what an amazing job. He's got hands are bleeding right now, but he did a great job. What a great group of people that we have the opportunity to work with. It's my joy to introduce our guest speaker. Many of you already know who he is. His name is Richard Sturz. He's the missions pastor at Cambuí Baptist Church in Campinas, Brazil. He's been in Brazil for many years, I think 30 years? 34 years. His wife, Miriam, is sitting here with him. Would you just wave at us right there? Miriam, she's from Brazil, and we're so thrilled about having them here. Not only is he the missions pastor, but he also is the publisher of New Life Publishing, and a wonderful, wonderful resource company in Brazil. And we're so thrilled to have him be with us here today. It is a joy to have him in this pulpit. He's not a stranger to Roswell Street. He was here when Dr. Easley launched the projects with Cambuí Baptist Church in Brazil in 2014. And we are so glad that last year that we were able to re-engage the opportunity and ministry with partnership in Brazil, and I think this will never, ever stop. My prayer that it will never stop, because Brazil is a strategic country in South America, and we're so thrilled to have you. So, Richard, come, brother, and preach the word, and we are so excited. Would you please make welcome Richard Sturz from Cambuí Baptist Church in Brazil.
Bom dia, igreja.
Good morning, church.
É uma alegria nós estarmos aqui com vocês nesta manhã.
It is a joy to be with you this morning.
E eu quero aproveitar e já agradecer a todos que nos receberam desde terça-feira, quando eu e minha esposa chegamos. Nós estamos aqui felizes.
Wait. That's enough right there. I'm sorry. No. I got this.
Thanks, Dan. Whoa.
How about that
for feet? All right. I think it's best that I just kind of go on from here in English. I think that Pastor Dan's just fine, right? Yeah. Folks, it is really a pleasure to be here this morning. As Pastor Dan has pointed out, we are delighted to know that Roswell Street Baptist Church now has taken us on as a missions partner, and that just fills us with joy. As you pray for us, we are praying for you as well. Before I get started, I just want to say, Matt, when I grow up, I want a beard just like yours, my friend. Yeah, I got a ways to go, but we'll get there, maybe. Yeah. This morning, before we get started, I just want to say that I've got some greetings that I want to bring your way. There should be a picture shortly up on the screen of my family in Brazil. There we go. On the on your right is our son and his wife, Eric and Barbara. And in the middle is my sister-in-law, my wife's sister, Malu. And then, of course, we're on the left-hand side. And this is the family that we have down in Brazil. And they send their greetings as well to you all this morning. I bring greetings from the Cambuí Baptist Church, where I have served as pastor of missions and discipleship for the last 15 years. Pastor Elias, our lead pastor, used to be the pastor of the Brazilian Fellowship here at Roswell 2008-2009. So it's been a while. But that was the connection between us and Roswell Street Church. When he came back to Brazil, we were looking for a new pastor, much like you are at this point as well. And God brought Pastor Elias to us. And so we've been in partnership with you folks, even though you didn't know me, but I kind of knew you. So that's been really nice. And I bring greetings from Pastor Elias as well this morning for those of you who might have known him and remember him. Before we get into the word, just want to point out that we have some prayer cards back in the fellowship hall. If you have not been through there, there's many wonderful displays, but you look around, you find our card. On the back, there's an email. You can email me. I'll put you on our distribution list to receive prayer alerts throughout the year, ways that you can be praying for us, and that's a good way for us to stay in touch. So I want to encourage you to grab one of these. But this morning I want to talk a little bit, as we are focused in on this Acts 1:8 weekend, a very special time. We believe that the God we serve is a missionary God. And obviously you have known this, and throughout scriptures we can see his heart to reach people with the message of his love, of his salvation plan, with the idea that we have been created to be in relationship with him, not to be apart from him. And that's what it means to be a missionary God. As God followers, then, our task is to imitate what God has done and continues to do. So we follow God and we imitate all that he is and does. We want to seek out the lost. We want to present the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that impacts them so that they have the opportunity to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Matthew's Great Commission, then, is a great place to start as we investigate together what I want to call this morning as a life worth living. A life worth living. No matter where you are in the walk of life, there's always the next step to take. Isn't that true? And although some of the things we'll be talking about this morning may sound like the first steps, or it's too simple, it's too elementary, but it's things that we all need to be reminded of day in and day out. And you understand a little bit more as we move forward. So in Matthew 28, in just a minute I'll read that, it tells us the what we are to do. It's kind of God's marching orders for all of us. It's much broader than just missions. It tells us what we need to be about in our day-to-day, where God has planted each one of us in our lives, in our families, in our professions, in our communities. Those things is what we're talking about. In Matthew 28, you remember the Great Commission, verses 18b to 20, and I'll just read this. Jesus spoke and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Amen. This is a good place for us to just pause and say a quick word of prayer. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, as we have now read this passage of Scripture and we get ready to launch into what you have for us this morning, we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, which is already here, would now conduct this moment. Speak into hearts and minds as we absorb those things that you have already planned for us this morning, and we will be careful to listen, to obey, and to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. And this we say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, obviously, we could spend not only the rest of today, but then throughout the year, time breaking down, analyzing, and just speaking into these few short verses in Matthew. And we don't have that time here this morning. It forms kind of the beginning point for all that we have for us today. As we are going is really the gist of this. You know this. We in our English versions oftentimes transform this into the imperative, go, go therefore. And there's nothing wrong with that, but as we get back into the original Greek, it is more of a participial statement. As we are going, or as you, plural, are going. right? And so as we go, basically it's speaking into all of the different aspects of life. It's not just going out on missions, which is a good thing, and at the end of our time together this morning, you'll have opportunities to sign up for that. But it's more than that. It's actually every aspect, every facet of our daily lives. So as we live our lives from day to day, we are to do several things. And just to reiterate what we've already read, we're to make disciples. And that, of course, is not us convincing people, because we don't really have that power. We like to think we do. And oftentimes, that's how we act. We want to convince people. But the Scripture says that that is the work of the Holy Spirit, right? He is the one that will convince and convict of sin and bring people to a saving knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ. So our role is basically to present Jesus how he is in our own lives. That means that we have to live according to his word. That means that we need to live according to how God lives. In other words, that which I've already said, we need to imitate God in everything that we are and we do and we say, how we think, how we act, and every moment throughout our day. That is part of making disciples. It attracts people because they see in us something which they would want, but they don't have. Not everybody, but those that are at the point in their lives where they know that they need something which is lacking, they're able to see in us. And that's really our call, right? And we'll get into that in just a second. We're to baptize. That's the second part in terms of having people make the public statement and commitment of their faith through baptism. And then teaching them to observe all things. That is then the rest of life. It's really what I call discipleship. And as pastor of discipleship at our church, that's one of the things that I'm involved in, helping people grow closer to the Lord in their daily living. It is just amazing to me as I have worked with discipleship for the last 15 years in our church, understanding that a good amount of people that are good church attenders, people that obviously have had a personal experience with the Lord, they are there at church most every week, but they don't know what it means to walk with the Lord. That piece of, so what does that look like in my life? They're still confused about it. And so discipleship helps people understand, well, what does that look like? What are some of the things that you can do to grow? And that's all contained in the Great Commission verses, which we just read. Now, in a nutshell, then, this is the blueprint for our lives as Christians. And we know this, right? This is nothing new for anyone. These are things that we know. The problem is, though, is that how often do we come back around and start our days with this type of vision as we head out? Out the front door, you're late, you got to be someplace, a meeting, to work, whatever, and we forget all of this. And we're so focused on the here and now, we forget that our marching orders are over and above, even though it includes us in the marketplace or any other facet of our lives, wherever you happen to be. It includes that, but now we go as ambassadors of Jesus Christ and his kingdom throughout our day, no matter what that looks like, no matter where we are. What we're talking about is, again, what I say, a life worth living. And let me break that down in just a few points as we move forward. A life worth living, number one, always begins with God's call. A life worth living always begins with God's call. If you are a Christian, God has already called you into his service. Some to full-time missionary or ministry service. But that's not the only type of calling. The calling that God has is for all Christians. The calling is to follow him. The calling is to be his representative. The calling is to live a life that is worth living so that others may know Jesus because of who you are and how you react and how you exist in the various circumstances, in the good, in the bad, and in the ugly of life. And we all experience all of those facets as we go through life. Isn't that true? And what we're called to do is to be apart from and yet put back into the realm of the secular so that we can demonstrate to others who have a huge hole in their lives, whether they know it or not, and they're constantly looking for something to fill it. And sometimes they find something that they think this is it, but it will last for a very short time. Only Jesus Christ lasts for an eternity. And since we know him, we're called to then demonstrate him to others. In Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, Jesus called some of his disciples to follow him. And again, I'll just read this and you can follow along. It says, passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now, let me tell you just a little bit of my story for you to understand a little bit of my background. I am a missionary, but I am a MK, in other words, a missionary kid. I'm son of missionary parents who were missionaries also in Brazil. So I was raised in Brazil from the time I was a year old, and there has been, you know, my entire history. I was raised, obviously, in a Bible-believing Christian home. My father, a pastor, a seminary professor, he became a theologian in the country of Brazil and had a big impact in that country. So there was not a day in my life that I did not know the truth of Jesus Christ and of the gospel. When I was 12, the school that I attended, it was an American school in the city of São Paulo in Brazil. So it was an evangelical school. It had been founded many years previously for missionary kids. And by the time I got there, there was a whole mix of people, but it was a Christian school. And one of the tasks that our homeroom teacher had for us, I was in the seventh grade, was that one morning throughout that school year, one of us students would then bring the morning devotional. So when it came my turn, I asked my dad for some books. He was a seminary professor, and he had, you know, a whole library full of stuff, right? I'm 12. What do I know at 12? Absolutely nothing. So dad gives me this stack of books because he was able to read a stack of books a day. I was not able to do that. But, you know, I worked through some stuff, and I have no idea what I said and even the Bible text. But what I do remember is that that was the time, 12 years old, that I understood that God was calling me. I didn't know enough to phrase it that way. I didn't understand the word call, but I did understand that it was something that felt right in my heart. You know what I mean? Has that ever happened to any one of you? You just feel that this is the right thing. But at 12, I had a group of good friends, and they came from families who were not missionaries. Their parents were high up in the executive world, and they had, you know, stuff, things, material things that I didn't. And I longed for some of those things that they had. And so at 12 years old, I said, no, what I want in my life is money. Maybe some of you have been there, maybe some of you are there right now. I don't know. But at that moment, when I understood that God was telling me that this is where you fit in, and I said, no, I don't want that. And so you know what I said? I said no to God. Have you ever said no to God? Yeah, some of you have, I'm sure. And when we say no to God, there is no peace. There's a series of things that then we are faced with. And God is a loving God. He is long-suffering. But that is not for all of eternity. There comes a time when he will then come back around and speak to us again. I'll get there in just a second. What happened was that I had made the wrong thing my God or my idol. I'd put money before God. And when God calls us as his followers, he will not take back seat to anything other than himself. He is the one that says, now I want now full control, full reign over your life. And so as we think and consider this weekend, the Acts 1:8 weekend, God is saying, I want to use you not necessarily on one missions trip, but in every aspect of your life from this day forward. See, so this is so much bigger than just one event. This is a lifestyle, and you know this. We just need to be reminded of it once again. Following God's call, then, is not optional for us as Christians. We need to have, then, God do what I call a reality check of our hearts. Because sometimes we've become so involved in the things that capture our fancy and our attention in our lives that we have forgotten some of these things. We've forgotten that, no, our whole and our sole reason for existence is to really be servants of the one true God and to be His representatives in all aspects of where we are living. God gave me a reality check 6 years after that time at 12 when I said no. So now we fast forward 6 years. I'm 18. I'm in the first year of my college experience. I went to a Christian college in Santa Barbara, California, a little place called Westmont College. Now you here in Atlanta never heard about Westmont, but that's okay. It's not a problem. It's a Christian college. And there when I arrived, true to my life goals that started at 12, I signed up as a business major. Nothing wrong with business. In fact, our son that you saw up there on the screens a few minutes ago was a business major in his college. Nothing wrong with that. But God had other plans, you see. So I get into the first semester of college, and I've got, it's a liberal arts education, so I'm taking courses in different areas, and one of them was macroeconomics. And some of you that know exactly what I'm talking about, it's basically just some of the large economic models that are used in the world. And it's a fairly easy course. There's nothing really complicated about it. And I have always been a good student. I'm not brilliant, but with study, I can, do very well. And so I was reading everything that the professor recommended. I was front and center. It was an 8 a.m. class Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And if you know anything about college, 8 a.m. classes are the worst, right? You want classes that will start maybe 2 p.m. so you can sleep, right? But that's not what happened. I was there every morning and was attentive because I'm saying, this is the first course in my chosen field, and I need to master this stuff. And by the time we got halfway through the semester, I figured out that I wasn't understanding a single concept that was being taught in that course. And in the back of my mind, it was like, maybe you got it wrong, right? You've got those two little voices, right? Maybe you got it wrong. No, you're fine. And I listened to the no, you're fine voice and just kind of kept going. Well, towards the end of that first semester, we're in Southern California. It's a gorgeous Southern California day. The sun is shining, and our college is at a wonderful location. In the back of the college is the foothills. There's trails, there's waterfalls, there's hot springs. It's a great place. In front of the college is the beach, right? And so there wasn't a soul on campus that Saturday. I remember very well. It was a Saturday. And the only reason that I was there alone in the whole college was that I realized that I did not have one single article of clean clothing left. It was in a stinking pile, and I needed to do laundry. Yeah, sometimes God uses dirty laundry to keep us in a place where He can talk to us, and that's what happened. So I took all my stuff down to the laundry room, and it was the coin-operated machine. So I loaded up four machines and had them going, and I'm just standing there waiting for the machines to finish. And God showed up. Now, I didn't see Him. I didn't hear Him. Nothing like that. But He began speaking to my heart, and I knew it was God, because He said, today you're going to make a decision. He says, it's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be next week. It's going to be today. And it was as if He put His hand on my chest and backed me up to the wall. And He said, for 6 years, you've been straddling the fence. You've got a foot in the world, you got a foot in the church. I had never rejected the truth of the gospel. I was saying no to God's plan, but I had never rejected Him outright because I knew that He alone was truth. I knew that. I believed that. And yet, I wanted something else, and I was stubborn enough to go in that direction. And God said, that's coming to an end. He said, you have a choice. Either you will, from this day forward, follow Me and obey Me and live your life for Me, or you will continue to live your life, but from this day forward, without Me. You see, I had a very clear idea that God was with me throughout those 6 years of rebellion. He had not abandoned me. I knew that He was with me. He was protecting me from the excesses of life, even though I was running after some stuff. But He was still with me, and I knew that. And at that moment, I understood that if I continued to say no, God would leave. And that terrified me. That absolutely terrified me. And by God's grace, my friends, it wasn't me. I have no merit in this. By His grace, that Saturday afternoon in the laundry room of my college, I said yes to God. And that changed everything. You see, the calling of God is upon all of us. But we only embark on the life that He has for us, the life worth living, when we say yes. When we say yes. And it's not a one-time deal. It's an every morning deal. Right? We wake up every morning and we're faced with the same choices. And we say yes continually because we know, for those of us that have done this for many years, we know that there's no other way to live life. There's no other way to live life. So a life worth living begins with our yes to God's call, but then it goes on. A life worth living never develops apart from our obedience. So we say yes. And that's just the first step. And then from that point forward, it's, okay, now we got to continue to obey. Right? Obedience, again, is a choice. And a choice that we have continually. You know, in 1 Samuel, there's a whole great story in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Again, we won't go into it. But in this verse, 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel is talking. He's talking to King Saul, who had disobeyed the Lord and had tried to justify his actions by saying, well, I've sacrificed, or I'm bringing all these animals to sacrifice to the Lord, when God had told them to kill off all of the animals as well. And Samuel says to him in 1 Samuel 15:22, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Now, we're not into animal sacrifice, you and I, in our culture, but we understand the concept. Oftentimes, we want to bring those things that we do. Lord, look what I did. I did this for you. I did that for you. And it may be good things. There's nothing wrong with doing good things. But it's out of a spirit of either disobedience or something that we have done that God never mandated or told us to do the opposite. And we, like Jonah, went in the opposite direction. Have you ever done that? Yeah, I have too. Right? We do that at times because we, again, listen to our fleshly, sinful hearts instead of obeying God, instead of obeying the Lord. You know, some years after that fateful laundry afternoon encounter in college, I was married to my lovely wife, and we were parents already. I had finished my seminary degree, my MDiv. We were already actually back in Brazil as missionaries, and doing a lot of really neat things. We were in the right place, doing the right stuff, and then the bottom fell out of everything. Well, our largest supporting church began a building program, and they simply redirected all of their resources into that, and they left us and everybody else high and dry. So we were down quite a bit in terms of our support. And then a second thing happened to that. In that time, the Brazilian government changed the national currency in Brazil. And while we had been enjoying a very favorable exchange rate between the U.S. dollar and the Brazilian currency, all of a sudden, literally overnight, we lost 50% of our buying power because of a new currency that had been adopted by the government, and then they readjusted that exchange rate. And so it was a double whammy. Now, we had some savings, and what we did is we just used our savings to supplement what we had left over in terms of our incoming salary. But after a year, we were done. And so we had to pull up stakes and come to the United States to find new avenues of support. This was years ago, in the mid-90s. And we spent a whole year and a half in Dallas. We were in Dallas. And we spent a year and a half there. And God had blessed us. He had put us in a wonderful church. We were being cared for. But there was always this question, okay, Lord, what's the next step? What are we to do? Show us where to go, what to do, and nothing. Have you ever had that experience? You talk to God and it's like, you know, your prayers are hitting the ceiling and they're coming back at you. You just can't seem to get through. Something is going on and you're not quite sure what, and we experienced that for a whole year and a half. God was providing, but he had us in what I call his waiting room. Have you ever been in the waiting room somewhere, maybe at a medical facility or somewhat, and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting? That's what was going on with us. We were just waiting. Until one day, and there's a series of circumstances, I won't tell you about that, but one day, a year and a half into this, God asked us a question. He said, will you go where I send you? Will you go where I send you? And that was a question that I knew hit the very essence of what was going on, at least in my heart. Because this is something which is interesting. Not everybody understands this, but since I had been raised in Brazil, my wife is Brazilian, our hearts, at least my heart, was definitely set on Brazil. That's where I need to be. And yet God said, will you go where I send you? And my biggest fear was, no, I'm going to be told by God I need to stay in the States. That was my fear. Well, God asked me that question 3 times, and between my wife and I, we understood, nope, we need to say yes to God. Yes. Remember that word? Yes, we will go. And out of that, he said, okay, I'm going to send you back to Brazil. A life worth living is all about obedience. And out of that, then, he has now placed us back there. And we're there because of his calling, not because we want to be there. Well, just to finish up this morning, a life worth living intentionally blesses others. And this is where we get into what we would like to do this morning. When we talk about blessing others, there's many ways to do that. One of the things that I do is disciple people. And just very quickly, I think of Philip, a fellow MK. He comes from Swiss parents, an MK in Brazil. And he sought me out years ago, struggling with issues which relate to MK's experiences, missionary kids. And there's a lot of struggles that we go through because of two cultures and competing worldviews. And so I was able to work through these issues with Philip. And at the end, he understood a lot of things that God was doing in his heart and mind, and he became one of our youth leaders in our church out of that experience. Blessed Philip. But it wasn't me, it was God working through me. I think of Pastor Jose, who plugs into me even now. He's a young pastor sent out by our church, and he's going through some struggles in the church where he's at, and he's plugging into me almost on a weekly basis, and we're able to pray together and work through issues and helping him make wise decisions as he moves forward in his young ministry. And this brings us to Acts 1:8. So if the Great Commission is the what, Acts 1:8 is the where. Where are we going to do all of this? Well, we do it locally, we do it regionally, we do it nationally, we do it internationally. And we're not going to go into all of those facets because that's what this morning is all about. In just a few minutes, Pastor Dan is going to come back here. He's going to give us a challenge. You've got some opportunities to go to different places. Remember, it's about this and it's about so much more. It's a lifestyle of saying yes to God, of being obedient to him, and then being available to him to bless others. Now, before I give up the mic, I just want to give a plug for Brazil. Okay, you understand how that works, right? Yeah, I got the mic. We got to use it. Yeah, so there's going to be a trip in November back down to Brazil. A small group came last year. We want to have a much larger group this morning. So I just want to challenge you as you pray, as you consider what God wants from you, that you say yes to him, that you move out into obedience, and that you be available.